Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today we are reviewing another week in the industry pickup fantasy leagues, a league full of fantasy analysts, smart managers in there, and I've got once again Australian fantasy basketball legend Keane to join me. Let's go!
Six, Jordan open, Chicago with the lead. Bryant to Shaq.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three.
Wow! Unbelievable! Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And like we said at the top of the show, guys, we are going in and reviewing the last couple of weeks because we didn't do a industry pickup review the previous week, and also reviewing a trade, the first trade in industry pickup, which was done with myself and Dan Titus from Yahoo. But before we do that, we're going to get in the great man to discuss it all with us. Adam King from Fantasy Basketball International. How are you today, mate?
With heavy heart, I'm here. Rest in peace to my fantasy team.
Oh, no.
We'll discuss. Good to be here, squeezing one in between family stuff, Christmas stuff, end of year stuff.
It's a busy time of year over here. It always seems crazy in the run up to Christmas. So I'm right there with you. And I just happened to also start looking at AFL fantasy today as well because I couldn't bloody help myself. I just throw another thing into the mix. But anyway, we're not talking AFL fantasy. We're talking NBA fantasy, and we're talking about the industry pickup league. Now, we did have a little chat before we jumped on the air, and it does seem like you're a bit down in the dumps about your industry pickup team. Talk me through the state of your team right now, and in particular, the results of the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so I know I lost last week. Let me have a look. I've lost pretty much the same score every week. I'm winning the categories that I should be winning, and then the ones that I'm fringe sort of in, I'm not. So
just falling short.
So I'm still, as when we discussed last, my team is still struggling in assists, which is one of the categories I was hoping to be strong enough in to compete, but without Markelle Fultz and without Marcus Smart, who still aren't back, still no word on Fultz if and when he's coming back, and Josh Giddey still sucks. I'm just not competing in assists. Hence, I'm not winning because my team is really big man heavy. I'm not winning threes. I'm not winning points. So, yeah, it's been tough, but I'm up against you this week, so I'm preparing for another loss.
We'll preview that one in a second. So we all cut over to Fantrax and the Industry Pickup League over here. And I'm just looking at the past couple of matchups that you've had since we recorded one of these podcasts. So a couple of weeks ago, you versed B-Dub, Fantasy Basketball International, you know, grudge match in week six on this one. You went down 3-6 to him, like you said. Lost the assist battle, lost the steal battle as well. B-Dub had an enormous steal total that week as well. And the rebound one also was very close. He got you by 6 rebounds there. Free throws also not too far apart. So a couple of close categories there, but ultimately a defeat in that one. You also notice you were 37 games played to his 40, so didn't quite get to the 40 games played limit. Is that a result of injury that week, or was it mismanagement on your behalf, or what's the go there?
Yeah, it was a bit. It was a little bit of injury. That was the week when I think Victor Wembanyama had two games and he missed one of them. So he only had. I only got one game out of him that
right.
week.
Yes, that's right. They only had two. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think maybe Chet had a pretty rough week. I'm just trying to think back. I know I picked up Al Horford, who was pretty good that week, because that's when Porzingis was out. He had some good games. Look, all my guys, like Nurkic has been great, Anthony Davis, Chet Holmgren, Wembanyama, have all been awesome. It's my guards. Asar Thompson has disappeared off the face of the earth.
That's unfortunate.
So it was a little bit of injury.
Yeah, it looks like you only had one game of Victor in this week with the 21 points, 4 blocks, 2 steals. A great game, great one game, but in the, you know, obviously one game of your first pick is not going to help.
No, so it's that was some injuries, and then last week obviously we all had pretty much two games per player.
Yeah, what are your thoughts for that in terms of fantasy? Like, would you like next year that to be like a 2-week fantasy matchup on a lot of the major sites, or is it something that you think we just need to deal with? It's just 1 week that's a bit funky, or because I know I've seen a few things around the space to say that, you know, it's kind of a bad format for fantasy given the fact that there's only a maximum of two games played for every team.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And most sites will now combine, obviously, those All-Star, the two weeks sort of either side of the All-Star break to form 1 week. I don't know. I think if you were to combine this week or this week with two games with another week, it means you're going to have some guys with six games, which is probably too many. When they do the All-Star one, it's the start and end of a week. So it ends up being 8 days or 6 days or 7 days, whereas this would end up being
like a full 2 weeks.
A full 2 weeks. So, and you've got guys with it. It'd just be, especially in a format like ours where you've got a games cap, you'd have to change it so that it was higher than four per slot. Otherwise, I don't know. It's a tough one. I think you just deal with it. And
I tend to be in that kind of camp anyway. It is something that like I've said before, round one, you always kind of take with a grain of salt because it's a weird week and things like that. I think this previous week was also one of those rounds where it's not the truest indication of how your team stacks up. I think there's a few different situations. Like in a league like ours where normally we, you know, have a 40 games limit, and if you say have a few injuries like both you and I do have, you can handle it a little bit better because, you know, you just don't play those guys. They're not going to be counting towards your 40, but you're still going to be able to get to that total 40 games just based on maybe streaming or putting in some guys that maybe would normally sit on your bench. Whereas if you're in a situation where the maximum amount of games we can basically get was like 30, then if you had those injuries, you're going to be at a games played disadvantage, as well as the fact that obviously you've got injured good players on your team as well. So it also has that like double whammy effect, I think, in a league like this where there are games capped, which is, I think, a little bit different to a regular streaming league as well. So, I do think it's a bit of a funky week that, whilst unfortunate, again, another 3-6 loss there, I also had a pretty bad beat. I don't think it's necessarily something that we should make wholesale changes, although, you know, it's more sort of just another piece of the puzzle of looking at our teams and looking about how things were going. If I look at my matchup as well, like just talking about that small sample size as well, like you have two matchups of every player. I just wanted to highlight like some things that can go against you. And for me in this past week, I went up against Rudy Gobert, who just turned back the clock, and he put up in two games, 40 rebounds, 8 blocks, 32 points, and shot 76.5% from the field and hit 100% of his free throws. So, you know, if you get Rudy Gobert for the week averaging 20 rebounds, 4 blocks, and 100% from free throw line and 77% from the field, like, in two games, that cooks you. Like, that is a big, big step up in the other opponent's advantage. So, those big performances are magnified even further. So that did me in. Also, I think for the week, I just came up against the wrong opponent at the wrong time. Like, I lost rebounds by 3 rebounds. We were the top 2 rebounding teams of the entire league that week. So I would have beaten literally any other team in rebounding. I was the 3rd in assists. So we were both top 3, I think, in those, top 4 in those, in that category as well. Blocks, we were also very high in. Only you and Drew would have beaten me, so any other team outside of you guys, I would have beaten in that category as well. So if I verse any other team that week, I actually get a win, but the opponent that I do verse, I lose 2-6-1. So a little bit of unluckiness there. There was a few things that went against me in terms of my team didn't perform, but it also, in terms of the timing of the matchup, was not really in my favor there. So try not to panic or make any rash decisions as a result of a very disappointing loss.
Yeah, and I'm going looking through your sort of scorecard here. You, like, for example, as you said, Rudy Gobert went off, whereas Miles Turner had 4 blocks for the week, 20 rebounds. So he had half of what Gobert
literally
had.
Half, yeah.
So, and obviously Turner's not going to get the rebounds that Gobert gets, but you do expect him to probably beat him in blocks, and that didn't happen here. Evan Mobley missed.
I didn't have Evan Mobley at that point. He was traded. So,
That was the trade.
That was the trade.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't have him. And I stream in Orlando Rob. Like, the other thing was, I was trying to stream things in as well, and some flip of the coin decisions where I think the week, the game where there was a 2 games on, I was deciding between Isaiah Hartenstein and a who was the other person that I did end up streaming. Backup center for the Phoenix Suns. What's his name? Why am I blanking?
Eubanks.
Yeah, I went with Eubanks, who ended up having a pretty ordinary game. He only had 1 steal, no blocks. Whereas I'm pretty sure Hartenstein had 4 blocks, 5 assists, and 8 rebounds. And, you know, whilst it wouldn't have got me the win in blocks, it would have put me over the edge in rebounding. You know, like, just those 50-50 calls that, you know, on any given day it can shape, they just kind of went against me. The other one, I did stream in Tillman. A couple other options I had. I put a bid in for Derek Jones Jr., not enough. But even someone, I think I put a bid in for Kyle Anderson, who had 4 blocks on the day, compared to Tillman's sort of 6 minutes that he played, which frustrated me to no end. So if everything went perfect for me, I still could have pulled out the win. Now, obviously, that's a bit much to ask every week, but it is enough to say that, you know, the win would have been possible if I'd made some different decisions.
Yeah, and that happens. Like, you come up against guys, like, you get injuries, and then you look at, like, the opposition, and they've got guys that are benefiting from injuries. Like, he had Terry Rozier, who's obviously going off without LaMelo. It's always in a vacuum. You're always looking at a weekly matchup, but try to look at the big picture, I suppose. And as you said, you don't necessarily need to be making wholesale changes based on 1 week or 2 weeks. For me, it's based on like 6 weeks. So you've got a bit more of a trend
and a bit more of, like, you know, multiple weeks of data to go, okay, there is something wrong here. There is something I need to address. So that's a bit more of, you know, something that needs to probably be actioned a bit sooner rather than later for your team. Let's look at the standings. So if we have a look at those, it's bloody tight, I tell you what. Outside of the top two, which is kind of putting pulling in front of everyone substantially, Josh is still undefeated, and I'm annoyed that Rhett, you know, put 2 players on his bench at the start of the week. I was like, come on, he doesn't need any of these layups. But anyway, Josh is out front. Drew, who beat me, is not too far behind him. I believe they've got a matchup this week. That'll be interesting to sort of watch the two teams go at each other. But then between the 3rd ranked player, which is watching the boxes, Mike Catron, at 11 games behind, all the way down to yourself at 10th with 16 games behind. Like, that's 5 category wins difference between 3 and 10. And even within that, like, 4 to 7 range, there's only half a category win difference. So 12 games back for Rhett, 12 and a half for myself, 12 and a half for B-Dub, 12 and a half for Mike Barner, 13 and a half for Alex Rakleen. So it's a very tight middle of the pack for the league. So one big loss or one big win can move you up and down the ladder fairly substantially in this league.
Yeah, it can, yeah. And I was sort of in that mix probably 2-3 weeks ago. And I, as you said, I'm just tailing off there a little bit. Still probably within striking distance, but I would need to rectify some categories, and whether that is via a trade or just by some guys getting healthy, or actually playing well instead of just not. And like I said, Josh Giddey sucks. disrespect to him at all, but he's not even closing games. Like,
no, he's getting what are they playing instead of him? They're playing the
Cason Wallace is getting minutes.
That's right. Isaiah Joe, I think, is sometimes closing over him. Yeah, that's troubling.
Yeah, it's really feeling like Giddey. I mean, obviously all this off-court stuff has probably had an impact, some sort of impact on his mental health and ability to focus, that sort of thing. But
he was a bit down before that, though.
It's not
like he was, you know, cooking before then, and then it's just suddenly come to a halting stop. Like, he never really has gotten going at all this season. And, it's not something I think is going to turn around, or at least not dramatically.
No. He's starting to feel like the odd man out.
Which is weird. Like, he's so young still and so talented.
I don't think, thinking long term, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure the Thunder is where that's going to happen, because, Shea is obviously their guy. But Jalen Williams can handle the ball. Like, Giddey's sort of surplus a bit in that role. Like, he doesn't.
I think he's definitely at best the fourth guy when it comes to their, like, you know, priority of developments. Yeah. Like, it's Shea, it's Chet, it's Jalen Williams, and then he's in that next kind of group.
And he doesn't have a reliable 3-point shot yet. So if they need floor spacing, they get Isaiah Joe out there. And he defensively, I wouldn't call him an elite defender. He's not a bad defender, but he's certainly not elite. I just think his skill set at the moment is a little bit surplus. Like, they can fill his role with other players who offer other things. So it's going to be interesting, but I don't necessarily see this turning around.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To him being like 32-33 minutes per night again.
Let's talk about, before we get on to the big heated matchup coming up this week, let's talk about the trade that went down. And I could do this because it was my trade, but also obviously I want to get your thoughts as well on the trade that went down between me and Dan Titus. Now, I'd thrown this trade out to Dan a little while ago, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, to be fair, and I'd kind of just left it there. I sort of talked to him a little bit on Twitter and said, hey, you know, got this trade for you, and not to sort of, I won't go word for word or what we discussed, but the discussion for me was, and this is just so, you know, people have an idea of how I go about, you know, instigating a trade. When I did the write up or whatever with the industry pickup sort of review, I noticed that he was basically last in assists and last in steals when I was doing sort of the season or the roto standings. So I went, I wonder if he's punting assists and steals. Looked at his team, it looked very much like a punt assists and steals build. So I know for me personally that Miles Turner in that build is a very valuable player. But when I was valuing my team and looking at some of the things that I was watching, because you always watch your players really closely. And I've been watching Miles Turner. I've been watching more specifically the rotation minutes of the Indiana Pacers and the minutes that Miles Turner was getting pre-in-season tournament competition, basically. And his minutes would often sort of linger in the high 20s and never really crack like the 30, 35 minutes per night mark. So I was starting to get a little bit nervous about it. I wasn't full-blown panic. So I floated out the trade. It wasn't 100%, you know, he wasn't on board straight away. He wanted to get a point guard out of me as well. So the deal kind of sat there for a little while. And I think, you know, sneaky Dan Titus waited until bloody Evan Mobley was out injured to accept the deal. But anyway, the deal got over, I think, based on the recent push that Miles Turner did in the in-season tournament. He has looked really good recently up until the actual championship game. But, yeah, Evan Mobley, my boy, comes over, who helps me a little bit more in assists, helps me a little bit more in steals and rebounds. It's not, I don't think, a league-changing deal, but it also just, to me, is I feel a lot safer with Evan Mobley's minutes and role within the team, and there's a little bit more upside, I think, there, and I don't care about the fact that he doesn't shoot his threes compared to Miles Turner. He's not as good of a free throw shooter. I lose maybe a little bit of blocks, but there's a little bit upside that they might be pretty close. So yeah, not a league changing trade, but you know, something that I think benefits my team slightly. What are your thoughts on the deal overall? Hearing my sort of sales pitch there.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think we get questions all the time, or who wins this trade, and they give us some, whether it's a real trade or not. I think both of you won. Like, I think this is a fair trade. If you look at
it, was a Sacramento Kings, Indiana Pacers kind of situation, right, yeah. Kingy? It's
that's right.
Obviously, I'm poking the needle a little bit there. I think.
Yeah, no, we can do that. Yeah, no. Look, I think as you said, it gets you just a little boost in some of those other categories. You lose a little bit in blocks,
yeah.
But having a look at you, like you've got Clint Capela on your team. You've got Giannis, I believe. Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah, I've got Giannis. I've got Scotty Barnes.
Derek Lively.
I've got a few guards that can block shots too.
Yeah, so losing half a block or 0.4 of a block, whatever, doesn't really matter. So I think, yeah, look, I think you both win. Dan is, he's down towards the bottom of the standings.
I think he is at the bottom, yeah. So he's in a situation where he has to make some moves.
Yeah, a bit of a... Like, let's try. And that's sort of where I am at the moment. I'm like, well, I'm 10th. With the team I've got, I don't think I'm going to push up too much. So maybe I make a trade and just see what happens. No, look, I think it's a fair trade. I think you both walk away happy, other than the injury, as you said, at the moment, Evan Mobley. But he is someone you were really high on coming into the season.
Still think he can get there. Look, I've reduced my expectation in terms of his scoring this season. It's really surprising to me that he doesn't get more shots. Like, he's had 12 shot against field goal attempts every season so far this in his career. But like I said, compare him to a Turner, I feel like there's more upside in a Mobley, especially the back half of the season, where, you know, they might lean on him a bit more. I think his minutes are much more secure than Miles Turner. And on any given day, any given week, if Turner minutes are low or the blocks just don't come, like, his value is more floated by that category. Whereas I think even if Mobley's not giving me blocks, he can still, for the most part, on more days than not, give me more value. He can give me more rebounds. He can give me more assists. He can give me more steals. And I just think that he's a more reliable player than a Turner on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I think so. As I said, I think it's fine. I think you're both happy. Turner will probably come out and have, like, back-to-back six-block games.
Oh, he's going to dominate. It's 100% going to happen from now. He's going to absolutely...
Mobley's out tomorrow. That's right, isn't it? He's been ruled out already,
Yeah. Look, watch the report come out that he's going to be out another 3 weeks or something like that, just out of nowhere. Which, you know, far out. If that happens, I'll be a bit upset. But I don't... I it's won't. Knee soreness. It's knee soreness. I mean...
Yeah. Well, I think they should just give him this week off at least. but no reason other than he needs the rest. Well, nothing to do with our matchup.
That's a good segue. Let's head on over into the matchup of the week. Nothing to do with, you know, one versus two, Josh Lloyd versus Drew Dinkmeyer.
Yeah,
I mean, who cares about those guys? The ball boys, big boys versus Kingy. The Aussie showdown here. Now, I will just say it's a good time, but one guy who haven't had much this season, I'm representing him on today's podcast by wearing the Phoenix Suns shirt with Bradley Beal set to make his return, hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood, on Tuesday. So as I get one injured player, I get one player back. But, I mean, obviously, we're not going to talk too much strategy, I think, in this one, in terms of how you're going to beat me or how I'm going to beat you. But how do you see this week playing out, or what do you think it's going to, I guess, come down to, or some, you know, some things that may swing the matchup one way or the other between yourself and myself?
Yeah, look, I mean, if I look at the projected sort of outcome in Fantrax here, it's actually saying that I'm going to win threes and you're going to win blocks. So I don't know. That's a little bit weird to me, but look, maybe it knows something that I don't. And you do, look, you do have a good team for blocks, so there's a chance. Yeah, look, I think, as I said, I think you will win it, and that's based on the sample size that I've seen from my team over the last month. And for me to have a chance, I think I would need Marcus Smart and Markel Fultz to come back. And Marcus Smart isn't coming back this week. I think he's still at least another week away. Fultz has been doing some pre-game stuff, but he's already ruled out for tomorrow. So I'm not holding out any hope that he comes back. I think blocks, I might get blocks. I think rebounds, you'll probably get me. It's sort of, we're both good in that category.
That'll be a tight one, I think.
But I think those guard categories, you'll just get me, I think, assists. Because, as you said, you've got De'Aaron Fox, you've got Killian Hayes, who's been starting. Scotty Barnes can get assists. Sabonis can get assists. Be nice. Well, that's the weird thing for me is usually when I say, well, I really want this guy to not play, like Jalen Suggs, if he doesn't play, that helps me. But I have him in three of my other teams. So it helps me in this league, but not in other leagues. So
that is always a funny thing when you're rooting for players just because of one matchup, but then you actually, hold on, wait, no.
I need him elsewhere.
I need him for blocks, but not for this. So then I start rooting for only one category. I think it could be closer than maybe you're giving yourself credit here for, because, I mean, there's some things that could swing either way. Like Jalen Suggs, to me, I don't know if he's... I mean, they listen to him questionable. I think he's probably closer to doubtful to play. I also don't know what's going on with Chris Paul. My assists do rely on Chris Paul being available more than I like to admit. So I think the last couple of weeks he's not been super available, so I do need him to play. Obviously, Mobley's been already ruled out. Alex Caruso, who the hell knows what he's doing game to game when it comes to, you know, his health and things like that. So I do still have, despite Bradley Beal maybe coming back, I still have quite a few injury concerns on this team. The field goal percentage, I think it's in my favor, but... You know, it only takes like an Aaron Gordon 0-for-12 game to really put me in the hole, and that could swing as well. So I think that outside of maybe the assists, most other categories are kind of in play for the most part. And because we both, you know, my team's not a powerhouse in threes or points or anything like that, like your team isn't. It is that sort of different week where, you know, maybe we might be looking to, you know, build the weaknesses of our team a little bit more, or, you know, maybe it's sort of I'm going to still forego that and still build on, you know, the tight ones. Maybe it is rebounds, maybe it is steals, or maybe it is blocks if we sort of foresee that to be a close one. It'll be an interesting way to see how it goes and how it sort of goes throughout the week. And obviously we've got that 13 game Monday, so not too much stream or anything going on that day. And we are back into doing the 40 game games cap this week as well. So we will need to also make the decisions on maybe sitting some guys on certain days. So, do you know if you'll be well clear the 40 games cap this week? Hey,
I would assume so. Although,
so I think nearly every team plays four games this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Although as I said, I'm still dealing with the Marcus Smart and Fultz injuries. Plus, I've got Jalen Johnson.
That's right.
I streamed in, picked up Dennis Smith. He was great. Got like six assists, two steals, and then he's missed. He was out. He's out again. So I just can't get healthy guards that are going to give me assists. And so maybe I'm going to float some sort of trade offer. I don't know. I think I just need to. And it could mean that someone ends up with Wemby or Chet. Or I'd like to trade Nurkic. I'm not sure if anyone's interested.
I'd be interested in Nurkic, to be fair. So maybe we can open up some dialogue. I don't know. Maybe an on-air trade. I don't know. Maybe that's a bit much to ask, but I'll have to think about some few things. But I'll listen to some Nurkic offers. He fits what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's... I did consider, I was actually looking at player ranks and all sorts of stuff last night, and obviously it doesn't come down to rank, but it gives you a bit of an idea of, hey, this guy's a top 80 player. I'm not going to try and trade him for a top 40 player.
Yeah.
But maybe I can trade him for the 60th ranked, or if I get the 100th ranked, it doesn't matter because he's good in certain categories. I did look at Nurkic for Chris Paul. They are relatively close in per game numbers.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, Chris Paul can be 8 assists, but he's just old.
I have no idea how to value Chris Paul, even on my own team. Like, yeah, a lot of the times, like when if I do a trade analysis or something like that, despite me feeling good about him not being on my team, it does hurt me whenever he exits my team and the projections and things like that, just because his assists are so vital for my team getting over the hump with some of the players or teams that are ranked ahead of me. You know, like some of the teams, like the Josh, like I beat Drew Dinkmeyer by 3 assists. You know, so that's a tight category for me and some of those teams that are slightly above in the standings. So it seems to be a category that a lot of us are sort of fighting it out for. But yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I'm just. Is that my? Oh, and I've also picked up Joe Ingles. I'm just looking at my roster. I'm desperate for assists, obviously. So I've picked up Joe Ingles.
You know who could be a good assist guy that, you know, I'll float his name out there, who I'm trying to get rid of, but Bradley Beal, mate, he's back. Point guard for the Phoenix Suns. I don't know. Maybe there's something there.
Well, I've just sent through an on-air live trade proposal for Nurkic for Chris Paul. Let's see.
Okay, I'm gonna let that mellow a little bit. I don't know if I'm ready to commit, but here it is. It'll be up on screen. Yep, here is the trade offer. Chris Paul for Yusuf Nurkic. Interesting offer. Nurkic does kind of fit what I'm doing, but I'll have to think on that one. And who knows, maybe this time next week when we talk about this podcast again, we'll have a Kingy and Big Boys trade to announce. But I reckon we might call it there. Anything else for you to plug before we wrap this one up there, Kingy?
No, just our normal stuff. Find us over at YouTube, our YouTube channel, FBI Basketball. The website, FBIBasketball.com. On Twitter, at AdamKing91. We've got our regular podcasts coming out, our in-game Saturday night. Don't know who I've got on this week, but my regular show this week with Zach, and I've also got Ken Kreitz coming on from RotoWire. So that'll be a fun show, and daily recaps, all that sort of stuff, as we head towards Christmas and a big Boxing Day in Australia.
Yeah, it'll be a big, fun day. It's always a tradition of mine to sit down and watch as many of those Christmas Day games as possible. But yeah, thank you very much. The next podcast, well, hopefully, the plan is at the moment to do it over on the Fantasy Basketball International YouTube channel and podcast platform. So next week, be on the lookout over on their channel to get the industry pick up a sort of rundown. My week eight preview should be out by the time this video also drops. So make sure you go and check that one out. If you haven't already, give this video a big thumbs up as well. And we will see you guys next time. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.